Hey kids, it's Stunker in the audio. We're gonna name this 149. This is Jeremy, and for a very special treat for everybody this week, all four of us are actually doing an audio. So that means Eric Nelson's on the other end here somewhere.
That's right. I'm on the other end. I'm using appropriate new Millennium technology. I'm proud of myself. Mm-hmm. This is officially the pawn shop edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I got Jeremy all dusted off and prettied up. He cleans up real nice, folks.
Oh, good. We can spend another 3 minutes to 4 minutes stretching for jokes that aren't going to work. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry about the long pause there, but I've got the attack. Now, what's the third Star Wars movie? Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith, yep.
Yeah, and it was the part where Anakin and Obi-Wan can start fighting each other, and Natalie Portman does that horrible fake fainting spell.
I was going to ask if it was the part where Natalie Portman gets naked, because otherwise I'm probably never going to see that movie.
Yeah, of the three new ones, this is the only one that's tolerable to watch. But the reason I even bring it up is it has a commercial for Impact Wrestling tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Yeah, down in the bottom corner.
Yeah, yep. With limited commercial interruptions, so you get a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah, you get
instead of more, just a decent amount of shit.
Yeah, you get even more of fucking Vince Russo's brain droppings on Spike TV. Spike ought to slap themselves for coming up with this idea.
Yeah, well, it's
I don't even know what it is.
Well, no, I got distracted by Kevin's tweet from the Stunt Granny account.
Yeah.
Where to go? No one has confirmed a court date for Jeff. So, the hashtag Jeff Hardy Watch could take a while. Unlike Matt showing up for a buffet.
Nice.
It's just a dick move. I told him this was a totally unnecessary dickish thing to do, the Jeff Hardy Watch
thing.
So
is everything on Twitter, though.
And that's exactly what he pretty much said. Yeah, he's like, yeah, that's pretty much what I was going for. I'm like, well, all right.
I was just trying to fit in, man.
Yeah, no one else has gotten the smart-ass thing going. So.
Yeah, right. Hashtags aren't sarcastic.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get going. We don't have a lot of topics, but one could take a while. Yeah. The other one's just kind of stating the obvious.
And we could have a few tiny topics near the end. Very, very short, brief.
Yes, because getting Eric off of one of these is borderline impossible.
Yeah.
So. You just have to hang up sooner or later.
I like to listen to myself talk.
All right. I don't know what you want to lead off with. Should we go with the big news first?
Let's just start with the big news since everybody else has talked about it, and let's just take our turn to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the big news this week was the CM Punk promo on Monday Night Raw. Oh. You know, Dusty.
I thought we were going with Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, fuck. Fuck that. That doesn't qualify as big or news.
Well, the dead uncle's trophy got passed, though.
So yeah. Thank you.
Speaking of dickish and unnecessary.
Yep. I assume it's 5.5 years. I don't know. What is that, 66 months? That's kind of an evil number. That was some quick math, by the way. I didn't plan.
And he was released in June, which is the 6th month.
Ooh, there you go. El Diablo Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
Well, no, the actual – oh, go ahead. I don't know if you had another joke you wanted to
– Oh, I had absolutely no. It's Chavo Guerrero. I'm pretty much out of jokes.
Okay. No, I mean the big news is CM Punk cutting that crazy promo on Monday Night Raw. Dusty and Kevin had their say about it. If you haven't listened to that Stunt Granny audio, listen to it. And if you haven't listened to it, you didn't get the pawn shop joke, so now's a good time to listen to it. Well, wait for us to finish and then go listen to it. Dave Lagana and I Want Wrestling, that's his podcast – got a few ex-WWE writers together to talk about it also and their shock and surprise and things that didn't shock or surprise them given their, intimacy with WWE in the past few years. I don't know, I guess, what shocked or surprised you about it? CM Punk comes out and, I mean, for those of you who haven't seen it, Christ, go look it up on YouTube. But, you know, he said everything under the sun. He brought up Hulk Hogan. He brought up Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. He brought up kissing Vince McMahon's ass and
Stephanie, Triple H.
Stephanie being his idiotic daughter and Triple H being his doofus son-in-law.
Which I thought that was a John Laurinaitis was mentioned as well as a bleeped out douchebag yes men.
Yeah.
And
then he started talking about the anti-bullying campaign, at which point they decided to cut him off, probably just because of time, not because of the topic or anything.
Well, all right. See, that's where I was like, that's where if, and I guess this will go to the point of having everything not scripted. I keep running into that word, and that's not the word I want to use.
Approved?
Approved. Yeah. Thank you. Of all the, you know, all, you know, this entire thing was approved.
Yeah, let's not even masquerade and let's not beat around the bush. Obviously, you know, we know that, and most of the people out there know that. So that's good. I'm glad that people are starting to realize that as Ernie Ladd used to say, everything you see on TV actually happened.
Yeah. Well, I would be surprised if anyone thought that was real. I mean,
yeah,
there's no chance. With such a controlled environment, which is what makes it such a great promo, with such a controlled environment, WWE is established. Mm-hmm. McMahon, Kevin Dunn, anybody.
Yep.
To have something that seems to go off the rail, even the slightest,
mm-hmm.
was a huge deal, and I think that's why it was effective.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that to word it differently, the fact that Vince McMahon did approve it, the fact that he would allow that, and he's allowed it to happen a few times, and we're going to talk about those times here in a little bit. That's kind of the cool thing about it, too. It's not so much that – it's definitely not, ooh, CM Punk got away with saying whatever. It's the fact that Vince is getting okay with it. You know, he is okay with it once in a while.
Yeah. Well, but I think he didn't say anything dangerous. I mean, dangerous or potentially upsetting. I mean, what's he gonna do? Triple H and Stephanie. Everyone knows they were married. They've acknowledged it on camera.
Yes.
So calling her an idiot. Okay. Well, Stephanie was a bad guy last time I remember. She was on TV.
Yep.
Triple H, whatever. But Punk's a bad guy as well. So calling him a doofus. But he never really called him by name, did he?
No, he just said doofus. Yeah. He called him Vince McMahon's doofus son-in-law.
Yeah. So you know, someone had to have gotten a kick out of this.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost
like all bets are off when it comes to Vince McMahon and really any of the writers, even themselves. You know, like, I mean, you could make fun of anybody in that company for any reason. And Vince, you know, he has his grudges and he has his people that he likes to pick on. And he lets Cole pick on Jim Ross over commentary, those sorts of things. But it's cool to see that when the time is right, he's okay with, and Stephanie is okay with, okay, you can pick on me this once to give it an air of legitimacy.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Even though, I mean, okay, she might have been a bad guy last time she was on TV, but even more so, the majority of the people at this point, I think, know that Stephanie is in a position of control.
Yeah.
It's not well hidden like Vince being the owner was in the early 80s, you know, before he started making his rounds in the media. Lots of this audience knows that Stephanie McMahon is in charge. They don't hide it. And so when he gets to say idiotic daughter, that doesn't go over everybody's head.
Yeah. Well, but it also got on the fact that he doesn't like the family as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's an anti-establishment
thing.
It's anti-establishment in the same way that he brought up Ring of Honor, which is a little edgier than New Japan. Actually, I thought it was funny that he brought up New Japan almost like a tease back to when Hulk Hogan won the belt from Yokozuna in 93 and then took off for like 3 months and went to New Japan and wrestled the Great Muta. You know, that's just funny. It's a funny little twist that, you know, somebody knowledgeable threw in there.
But also, isn't that where MVP went?
Yeah, and Dave Lagana and his crew brought that up on their podcast, too. And they even suggested that MVP, like, you know, he and Punk talk. Maybe if anybody knew about this promo ahead of time, it was McMahon and Kevin Dunn, and it was probably like an MVP or something like that.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I think. That's one of those I want to say click things, but remember in the NWO, WCW Raw, sorry, Nitro Raw ratings thing?
Yeah.
You know, they give a little hand signs. Right. I just figured this was like a verbal hand sign to MVP.
Oh, sure.
Just for fun. I mean, because, you know, one of the things that made the promo good was it it was legitimate. You could see Punk, some of the stuff, he could really kind of tell he meant it. Like he was, or he used the words to vent his own anger.
Yeah.
Especially in the point that, the part I'm talking about is, when he mentions The Rock is headlining WrestleMania next year and he's not, his face turned beet red. His lips, I mean, I've watched this thing like 10 times and he gets, his lips get really terse, almost like he's just gritting through his teeth when he's saying it.
Well,
now, maybe he's a fantastic actor and that's what happens. But that to me was the one point that I was like, wow, he's really, really letting loose in this.
Well, and anybody that's followed this whole CM Punk saga over the last month or so knows that according to the reports, one of Punk's big issues with WWE is that they're not treating him like the main event superstar that he thinks he is. And so planned or unplanned, scripted or unscripted, and definitely approved, he doesn't get the opportunity to main event the biggest show of the year because they already plugged in the main event 364 days in advance.
Right.
So, you know, if he's really mad, sure it's going to come through and sure he's going to turn red.
Yeah, but I think that's what made it effective was that there were some, like, legitimate airing of grievances, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
At least it seemed to be.
And I think
part
of that is that he's going against the boss, he's going against the boss's family, and he's going against the establishment. I think a lot of people understand that these might be the issues that a lot of wrestlers are having. You know, that, yes, it's effective, and yes, it's grievances, but I bet it's grievances a lot of them are having.
Yeah.
That might be a reason, you know, one of 10 million reasons why Steve Austin's run against Vince McMahon was so successful, because people were seeing McMahon as this tyrant and, you know, not just anybody. Steve Blackman couldn't have done what Steve Austin did.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as much as we love Zack Ryder, Zack Ryder couldn't have done what CM Punk did on Monday night.
No.
CM Punk is, and Lagana and his guests on I Want Wrestling, man, they must think that Punk, I'm not saying that he can't, but they must really think that this guy could carry the torch for the next 5 years if he wanted to, and if WWE put him in the right position to do so. And I actually remember Wade Keller a couple of years ago saying, I wouldn't be surprised if CM Punk versus Samoa Joe main evented WrestleMania. And you know what? If WWE doesn't drop the ball with this, this might be like the ultimate proving ground for CM Punk. That promo could have been the turning point where he went from, you know, they don't recognize me as superstar to they can't help but recognize me as top flight, you know, annals of history superstar. It was so well delivered. That's the other thing too. Nobody could have, you know, if more people than just Punk have these feelings, nobody could have said it as eloquently and with as much anger and anti-establishment feeling to it as Punk.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I'm glad you mentioned eloquent. He didn't speak the whole time. Yeah, he raised his voice, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pitch higher, whatever you want to call it. But he never got to a Hulk Hogan point or a Warrior point where it's just yelling.
Yeah.
So that it was a seething type of promo where it was just – you could – almost if anger could drip – you know, that's what it would be. And the delivery to me is what did it. The words were great. I mean, they were fun for internet fans and for people who, you know, who consider themselves smart.
Ooh, he said Colt Cabana, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, he said Ring of Honor. Uh-huh. But I think the most cutting thing was when he said, maybe the WWE will get better when Vince McMahon dies. And the whole crowd just went, oh,
yeah.
Like, whoa,
that
man.
That was great. Yep.
That's pushing it.
Yep.
And then he kind of, not that I'm saying he won the crowd over, but they were all, they were engrossed with this.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's part of the key too. They realized that they've got a WWE champion, and it's not like they just realized this Sunday night. Christ, it's been going on for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
They've got a WWE champion who is not popular with a very vocal portion of the crowd. You know, and I know they're in this PG, kid-friendly superhero and villain era, but obviously they're okay with the Shades of Grey thing. And they knew, they had to know that a promo like this was going to you know, catch the ear of a lot of these smart fans and perk a lot of people up, and they would agree with what Punk said, if not what he said, what he felt, the, you know, upset and anger that he felt.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the other cool things about going into Money in the Bank in Chicago, CM Punk's hometown, where he gets a great reaction all the time. And on top of that, a town where they hate John Cena. You know, that's where the crowd turned on him at WrestleMania 22 against Triple H. That was really like the start of this whole tide shifting against John Cena.
Yeah.
Was in Chicago. You know, it's going to be some real shades of gray. It's going to be an awesome crowd. And people are going to pay money to see it. I don't know how many more than normal, but that's the other thing too. The word promo literally in wrestling terminology means to promote an event coming up, an interview that promotes an event. Man, if Punk and WWE didn't combine their efforts to do that at the fucking top level, this is going to turn into money for them.
Yeah. Or it goes back to the old adage, you talk them into the seat.
Yep.
You talk them into the building.
Yep.
And that's been something that WWE's been lost on for a while. So to see it again, to see a guy control it, I mean, Chris Jericho could do it. I mean, if someone would argue that he didn't talk people into the building, though. But he could, once you were in that building, he captured your attention.
You know, I was actually going to mention him as somebody who did. I mean, I went for the longest time without buying pay-per-views other than the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And even then, Royal Rumble got cut out last year or maybe the year before. But when Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho were in the midst of their feud, I bought those pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And it was I knew they were going to have great matches, but it was also on the strength of the angle and the promos that Jericho was doing more so than Michaels. And where was I going with this? Oh, the other aspect of that is look at how much say Chris Jericho had in that angle. And look at how much say CM Punk probably had in the promo that he cut on Monday night. And it goes to what you just said about this hasn't, you know, we haven't seen a promo like this or a promo guy like this in a long time. That's because they've got this shitty crop of writers writing for them. And are you noticing a pattern that when a wrestler gets to be himself, that's when you get these amazing promos that make you want to buy the show?
Yeah.
You know, they're stuck at this like 3.1 rating. Their buy rates are in the toilet compared to what they were, you know, 10 years ago. And things spike apparently when wrestlers get a chance to do it themselves like they used to do in the old days when they were wrestlers. Ah, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Now, I actually had the guys at the comic shop. He went to WrestleMania. He took his kids to WrestleMania, but he doesn't really. He went to the Ring of Honor shows, and he likes those better. And he actually asked me about it. And the guy, but he didn't see it. It was one of the guys he worked with, Danny, I think. I can't remember his name. He's a nice guy, but I just don't remember his name. But he was the one that actually mentioned it. He said he hadn't watched wrestling since WCW went out of business. And he was the one, and he even said that was just great. And if it could capture somebody to get back into it that's been out of it, I don't know.
Well, did he watch it live? Like, because his kids watched it, or well,
no, I didn't
that's not the guy
that,
with kids,
know?
I guess.
I did
but,
not ask him that.
Okay, because I wonder this. I don't know how much mainstream attention this has gotten, but there's a website, Grantland.com. It's actually started by Bill Simons from ESPN. And I think the guy that does their wrestling column, I think he does it every week. And the last 2 weeks in a row, he's talked about CM Punk and just the great stuff that he's done, like his match at Capital Punishment against Ray. And then he did a column this yesterday about Punk's promo.
Oh.
And so, again, I don't know. It's Bill Simons, and he's got like Chuck Klosterman writing for him, the Pop Critic guy, and a couple of other pretty well-known writers and columnists for other publications talking about CM Punk. So that's cool. You know, so if he didn't see it live, he might have picked up on it somewhere else and then looked it up on YouTube or something. But
yeah,
which just speaks to the strength of the promo, though. And to Punk and how cool people think Punk is. He's so different from the bunch. I mean, fuck. If fucking Kofi Kingston would have cut that promo, fucking Chuck Klosterman would have wiped his ass with the script.
It would have been pretty funny, actually.
Oh, my God. Fuck
like
that.
This douchebag?
Yeah. You would have heard my fucking Nelson Tron 3000 shatter from across the country.
Do you still have that thing?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now, actually.
What? Okay, we'll take that one off the air then. You totally confused me now. So where the hell do you have it set up?
In our bedroom, on top of the new dresser we bought.
So wait a minute.
As opposed to the living room where the nice TV is.
Was there a dresser in there before?
Yes. And now we got a new one, a longer one, to fit more stuff in and on.
Okay. Never mind. Forget it. Okay. All right. So now one thing, I can't remember if Kevin and Dusty mentioned this, but wasn't it kind of fitting that Punk was wearing a Steve Austin shirt?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people have mentioned that. And here's a funny parallel, and this might be a way that we segue into the other part of this topic and discussion. When Paul Heyman cut his anti-Vince McMahon promo in Vince McMahon's face right before Survivor Series of 2001, which was at the end of the whole invasion angle, Paul Heyman was actually wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin baseball cap. And I think that if that was all done on purpose, which really, I think when it comes to CM Punk, it's possible that that was like a little detail that he did on purpose. I wonder if that's going to be kind of the like red flag, hey, some anti-establishment thing is about to happen, you know?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's been pointed out, and I almost wonder if that's what the case is. You know, in 3 years when we see like Tyler Black or something like that come out and cut an anti-
Oh, gosh, I forgot about him.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon promo, if he's going to be wearing like a BMF leather vest or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think going to your Paul Heyman part, though, wasn't he wearing that because Austin was part of the alliance by then?
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's – I don't know. It could have been planned on his part. You know, it could be because he was a huge Steve Austin fan and one of his friends.
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of reasons. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Austin was an alliance member at the time. It's just funny, though, that the little things that you can pick up from these worked shoot angles.
Yeah.
Which actually,
if you want to dissect them, sure.
What's that?
If you want to dissect it, sure.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's like some Zapruder film, you know, who shot JFK shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, anything else that we want to talk about with this particular promo? Because we have there's a lineup of these that have happened throughout recent history that...
I think it's a good point to move on to that. There's other stuff that can be discussed later about it, sure. So it's not a big deal.
Throughout, let's see, I don't know, the last maybe 20 years or so, this hasn't happened very often, but every once in a while one of these crops up, and the first one within that time frame that really made an impact in wrestling was Brian Pillman in WCW. Mm-hmm. He had joined the Horsemen. And then his gimmick, I guess, at the time, you know, he was bored with the whole flying Brian, California Brian, blonde hair, slapping fans' hands and kissing babies and throwing people in the air. And he needed a change, and he wanted to do something to make sure that he was going to get noticed by the powers that be. And as the story goes, he went back to Bruce Hart up in Calgary, his old tag team partner in Bad Company and Stampede, and said, I need a change. And I think actually Terry Funk got in the conversation somehow, too. And convinced Pillman that a great idea would be to just go off the deep end and be a lunatic. And, you know, he ran it past Kevin Sullivan and ran it past Eric Bischoff. And they said, you know what, that might just work. And for, you know, maybe a good 4 or 5 months in WCW, he played the loose cannon role. And he, you know, Bischoff would refuse to acknowledge him. And then they kind of acknowledged him. He wore that T-shirt that said, I don't call 911, and had a picture of a gun on it. you know, the announcer's like, I remember Chris Cruz at one pay-per-view was real hesitant. He said, I've been told I don't have to interview you. And anyway, he got himself fired. Legitimately, they ended his contract with WCW. He went to ECW and cut that big 10-minute promo on Eric Jerkoff, and now he's a piece of shit. He's going to yank out his Johnson and piss all over this hellhole. At which point, Shane Douglas runs out and screams, he's shooting! He's shooting! Making sure he does it near the microphone so the 1,100 miscreants and mutants in the ECW arena could hear it and think, oh my god, I heard the word shooting. He must really be shooting. Oh, I'm going to roll a 20 with my fucking D4. I don't know. There's a lot from there, but do you have any memories of that particular angle? And I mean, he parlayed it into a big money WWF contract after that.
Yeah. See, my biggest memory of that it was the times on Nitro he'd come out and he'd threaten to swear and talk about the seven deadly words and this and that. But there's the Booker Man angle where I was not in the dirt sheets at this time, so I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
The one thing that always sticks out in my mind of this is, for Pillman, this was huge. For WCW and ECW, this was a colossal failure.
Oh, yeah.
Because their biggest act, I mean, their hottest act, parlayed that into some big-ass money somewhere else.
Somewhere else. It was more than just – it was a failure in a way for ECW, but it was a huge embarrassment for WCW for a while there until the NWO thing came in and kind of washed everything away.
Yeah, and that was the thing to me. And then they said Pillman was joining WWF at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? And I thought he was in WCW. And this is before ECW was on TV when we were in school. So yeah. We didn't even see that. But no, that was one of my favorite ones because I always thought Pillman's act was great. That still cracks me up that I don't call 911 shirt.
Yeah, I know. That and he got his own 900 number where he would just – spew the most random shit and a bunch of like right wing craziness and just record like, you know, 15 minutes worth of this stuff. And then he came out on Nitro walking through the crowd with a huge banner with his phone number spray painted on it. That's brilliant. How awesome is that?
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Funny, man.
It is. Yeah, I don't know. And it was funny too. If you look back, If that angle, the ECW promo where he came out and the Liberty Bell and my constitutional rights and he's shooting and this wasn't part of the deal, if that were to happen today, like this Punk thing, it would be under such a microscope that we would know immediately that it was all, you know, planned and scripted ahead.
Yeah.
But for the time, I mean, that was pretty revolutionary for something like that to happen, especially given that everyone was in on it. I mean, and actually 90% of the wrestlers apparently weren't in on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the thing. They worked everybody in the back with it.
Yeah.
So,
but all the bosses were in on it. You know, how great. And again, yeah, that's the other thing, though. If you're looking at measures of success, it was successful for the wrestler. And it was cool for WWF. And it was really fun for the fans. But the other two, WCW and ECW, got left in the dust. They had to eat shit on that one.
But it was also, luckily at the time, it was a time WWF did not have much going for it.
Yeah, they had just acquired Mark Merrow.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
but they also, this was right around the time, no, it was later on when Pillman got with the Hart Foundation, so never mind.
Right, about the next year. But he did do the whole, you know, I'm trying to be Steve Austin's buddy, Steve Austin doesn't want to be my buddy. You know, and then Austin was calling out Bret Hart, and they did that. That was where they did that interview where Pillman was like, you know, interviewing his buddy, Steve Austin, and yeah, Steve Austin's going to wrestle the best there is, the best there was. And Austin's like, what? And then just nails him and breaks his ankle inside the chair. So yeah, it took a few months for all that to kind of come around, but yeah, I mean, that was great. And you know, actually that's another thing other than the gun angle. Pillman's not really all that fondly or closely remembered or tied to the whole Steve Austin babyface turn, but he was a really important piece of that puzzle.
Oh yeah, see, people booed him when he did that though.
Yeah,
and that was always a confusing one to me when that happened. It was like, am I supposed to be booing Pillman or cheering? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, it was also still – it was like the tail end of that era where you're like, I got to cheer for him because I just cheered for Freddie Joe Floyd and I booed Salvatore Sincere. You know, I'm booing Billy Gunn and cheering Bart Gunn. I guess I have to boo Stone Cold Steve Austin too, right?
Yeah, that's for damn sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what were some of the other ones you mentioned?
Well, later that year, after Scott Hall and Kevin Nash went from WWF to WCW to form the NWO, Jim Ross was used as the fall guy. He was kind of the talent coordinator
at
the time.
That's right.
Yeah, and they decided that they were going to use him as the bad cop when it came to the audience, and he was going to introduce the new Razor Ramon and Diesel to the to the live crowd on Monday Night Raw, and it turned out to be the imposters, one of whom has fallen off the face of the earth, and the other of whom is a multimillionaire with a lifetime career if he wants it.
Yeah, it was Mike Titan, right?
Rick Titan, yeah, Rick Wagner is real name, and he'd done the slice and dice Ramirez character elsewhere. But I mean, the crowd knew it immediately and just shit on it. But it was all Jim Ross's fault, right? Which, you know, half the crowd bought that. But he's the one that came out and cut a 3-minute promo about Vince McMahon fired my ass, and I February of '94, I had Bell's palsy, fired my ass. How do you like that one, McMahon? Now, measures of success, I mean, was that a successful promo?
No, it just seemed awkward, and at the time, WWE was so far behind, it just seemed desperate. So it was like, what an odd thing that's happening on TV right now.
Yeah.
It just seemed kind of sad. It was like, okay, yeah, you got fired. I don't care.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it didn't draw any money. And I mean, if anything, it was part of the problem at the time that, you know, it was only a few months after that Monday Night Raw against Nitro drew like a 1.7 rating. And it's like, I'm not saying that was the reason why, but if you look at that steady decline in business, fake Razor Ramon and fake Diesel were a huge part of that.
What was, oh, I just lost my train of thought. I had something for that. So, yeah. Oh, what was it? I can't remember who it was. It was the two of them fight. It was the two, Mike Titan and, I'm sorry, Razor Ramon and the new Diesel taking on some, it was a tag team match.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember who the hell they fought, but they turned, was it Owen and Jeff Jarrett?
Oh God, no.
Maybe Owen and Davey?
I don't think, probably Owen and Davey.
Well, it was whoever they were fighting were bad guys, and they've been established bad guys for a while.
Yeah.
And it actually, God damn it, I gotta look this up. But there was a weird turn during the match. And
was it a permanent turn?
No, it was like, it was one of those rare ones where, hang on.
Well, I mean, and to your point, I guess, without jumping the gun too much here, how could you not cheer for the people who were wrestling these assholes that were impersonating? And that's the thing, like, none of the right people got the heat for this, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it was Owen Hart and British Bulldog. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And people were cheering for Owen Hart and British Bulldog.
Sure.
Even though they were bad guys. I mean, they hated these.
Yeah.
Just so much
that
it turned those guys the face for a while. No, it was the funniest damn thing.
That's what you get. I mean, that's obviously an example of a bad one. I was going to say a bad example of a worked shoot. We talked about,
God, that was with Clarence Mason.
Clarence Mason, Jesus, yeah. In lieu of Jim Cornette, give me a break. There's a fucking downgrade if I ever heard one. God, what was the other one we just talked about? Paul Heyman, which, you know, was as part of a good angle that could have been better, but whatever. And then a few years later, after the ECW DVD came out and did such great business, and WWE decided, okay, we're gonna give this pay-per-view idea a one-night thing. They called it One Night Stand, obviously, is in 2005. And my God, Paul Heyman cut such a great promo at that show too, where he told JBL the only reason you're on SmackDown is because Triple H doesn't work Tuesdays.
Yes, I thought that was a great line too.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is,
it's still a funny line. Some of this stuff's still funny. It's great.
Yeah, it really is. If you out there haven't seen these for a while, because you probably saw them live, you know, if you haven't seen them for a while, go look them up. You know, whether they drew money or not, you might get a good laugh out of some of these promos.
I thought that was what a great line. Triple H don't work Tuesdays.
Yep, that was fantastic. But then the following year in 2006, so we've had Joey Styles on commentary for a while. He did commentary at One Night Stand. He's been on Monday Night Raw. Jim Ross was out because he had, I think, the surgery on his colon, so he had to be out for a while. But he was healthy enough to come to WrestleMania, and who else is going to call WrestleMania but Jim Ross when he has the opportunity to? Yeah. It just makes sense. Well, that was part of the promo. So Joey Styles cuts a promo on Monday Night Raw after getting roughed up by the Spirit Squad, you know, the cheerleaders who are the antithesis of what Joey Styles has been calling in pro wrestling for the last 10 years. And he comes out, and Jerry Lawler's like, oh, come on, why don't you show some spirit? So Joey Styles slaps him across the face and then storms off and then cuts an 8-minute promo about how he calls pro wrestling and not sports entertainment. And Jerry Lawler's a hack, and Vince McMahon's an idiot, and wrestlers aren't superstars and all this stuff. And you know, I got bumped for Jim Ross, and then I couldn't even call Backlash.
Yeah, yes, that was another one.
But then that's an example of, is that really a money-making promo?
I don't think it made any money. I mean, it didn't do anything. Having announcers cut stuff doesn't do anything.
It's another one of those things that puts the heat on the wrong people. That was a thing where it was entertaining. It was fun to listen to, and, you know, it was a fan favorite airing grievances. But I don't recall that drawing any sort of money.
I don't see how it could have.
Yeah.
Especially being the like ECW style stuff. It's just like, okay.
Right. And then actually the thing got shot in the foot when Joey, he even said something like, and all you people that are cheering are part of the problem or whatever he said. And, you know,
yes.
People keep feeding the machine. It's like, oh, you just let him cut this impassioned promo about everything he hates about WWE, and then turns him heel against the crowd.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Punk did that too, which was good. I mean,
it was good because he's designed to be the heel.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I would say, you know, entertaining promo, monetary failure.
Yeah. It's only going to be successful if you see some green from it.
Yeah.
I don't see how having Joey Styles, you know, having a kind of promo like that would do it. No.
It's like, so, yes, no. Having the voice of the Rebellion do the talking helps. It was stronger and more powerful when it was Paul Heyman for the Alliance than when it was Joey Styles for Joey Styles.
Yeah.
And yeah, a couple months down the road, they had the second One Night Stand pay-per-view, but I don't think that was really the point of Styles promo. However, years later, Joey Styles would knock out JBL with one punch, and that was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny, JBL, I think that's really the end of the list of the work shoot promos that I can think of, but JBL was really praising CM Punk's work. JBL put out a video blog on his Facebook page and had all good things to say about Punk. What do you make of that?
I think JBL's got a – I think you mentioned it. I was busy today. I didn't get a chance to ask you about it. But JBL has turned into seemingly somebody different since he's not in wrestling.
Like he's less of a prick?
Yeah. I was always one of the guys that was like, you know what? He can do what he wants. That's part of the joy of doing this sort of stuff.
Right.
And, yeah, he was kind of a dick, and you heard about him behind the scenes hazing people and this. But – when it came to like his business smarts, or he'd have interviews on Opie and Anthony, he'd be on. He was a riot. He was just a big frat guy.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of like watching TV and seeing that guy that's an asshole, and you're like, oh, that guy's hilarious, only because he's from a distance.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what JBL was to me. But now he's like, and he's, I can't remember exactly where he is, but he's in
Bermuda or the Bahamas or something like that.
Yeah, but he's doing stuff with the underprivileged, and and it's like, really?
Well, here's the thing, like he's one of those guys who's so smart and so successful and so good, whether you like him or not, he's good. And that's the other thing too, he'd always get credit for being good, a good promo or great promo sometimes, good wrestler, you know, not unqualified to carry the world championship. Mm-hmm. But he knew it, and he wasn't like rubbing it in your face or anything like that. But I mean, he loved to haze people. He loved to make people prove their worth. You know, he was like, Yeah, he was a bully, but yeah, you're right. And I posted this in my thing today too. And this was probably not the best analogy, but I likened him to Biff in Back to the Future. And especially like when they got to the future and there's old Biff out there waxing the car. And he was like, well, I already put two coats of wax on it. And George McFly's like, now, Biff.
Don't you con me.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I'm just finishing up the second coat right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think of JBL kind of like in that way, you know. It's like you keep him around, you know, and maybe he's not as bad as you think, but he's still kind of that asshole.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just – it's such a weird change. Like I'll see him on Fox News on Saturdays.
Yeah.
He's one of the business analysts.
Yeah.
And he kind of calls it down the middle now.
Sure.
And I'm like, how did this change? I mean, maybe he gained more perspective.
That could very well
not being in that bubble of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets out and he sees stuff now. And that, one of the things I've always say is he has the time, or if you have the time, research your own shit.
Yeah.
So maybe he's finally got that time. Maybe that's what he's been doing. And, sure. You know, just see stuff differently finally.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also maybe he's relaxed. Maybe he doesn't feel like he's got to be protective of whatever he was being protective of, whether it was the business or his spot or that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's just he knows he's good. And so there's just, you know, he had a really poor way of expressing it for the longest time.
Well, I will always be upset that we got robbed of that Triple H JBL match. And I know that sounds kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah, that they kind of foreshadowed with the promo backstage.
Yeah, they kept foreshadowing. He's like, and Triple H's like, wrestling God. And he's like, laughing at.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And the crowd was getting like choosing sides and everything. And I'm like, this is going to be really good. And then he retires.
Yeah.
Dick.
But, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, JBL's been around a long time and he worked his way up through the ranks. He knows a good promo when he sees it. And to be honest, his opinion carries a lot of weight. You know, and Punk is his own guy and he knows his shit is good too. But he probably took that as a compliment.
I've always figured Punk's got a healthy respect for the business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you want to put it in, like, you know, the wrestler terms.
Yeah.
So getting praise from Steve Austin, Jim Ross, you know, top guys, guys who, in effect, made money.
Yeah.
That's got to be something.
Oh, hell yeah. Even, like, I heard Lagana on his podcast mention Shawn Michaels at one point a couple of years ago when everyone was ragging on Punk using the Anaconda Vice or doing the thing where he'd roll his hands and wrists or whatever it was. And, like, every creative meeting, Punk and his stupid move or Punk and his stupid hands. And finally, after a while, Shawn Michaels is like, why don't you stop ragging on the guy and why don't you come up with something better for him to do? Why don't you tell him what he's doing wrong and help him come up with something better? And they said, from that moment on, like, Punk was a project and they weren't just, you know, talking shit behind his back. They would share ideas back and forth. So, I mean,
that's the first I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, so Shawn Michaels is on his side, you know, and we've said it plenty of times. It's obvious that Vince McMahon trusts CM Punk. And I don't know if it's because CM Punk isn't going to die on Vince McMahon's watch or if it's because he truly recognizes that, like you said, healthy respect for the business that Punk has. It all goes back to this promo on Monday night. That's the evidence of it right there.
Yeah. And I remember, I think Kevin mentioned it in the audio. He was like, he wasn't sure who said it or who said that Vince McMahon liked him. It was Vince McMahon that said it.
Yeah.
He said in an interview, he was like, you know, first I wasn't sure about this kid with all this, but he's like, you know what? He's won me over.
Yep, that's right.
So, I mean, that's straight from the God's mouth or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
The saying is. So, yeah, but JBL, getting back to him, what a weird-ass turn, man.
It is. But you know what? I'd have a beer with the guy if he let me, if he wasn't such a...
Hell, I'd have a beer with any of these guys. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Which, speaking of, by the way, I don't give a fuck what kind of mark I look like, and I know I've called people out for using that word before. People on the message board would be like, what a bunch of marks, and I would seriously send people a private message and be like, look, you idiot, you're still spending money on wrestling, too. You're just as much of a fucking mark as I am, and that guy is, and everybody else is, so don't... throw that word around like you think you're a part of the business just because you subscribe to the Torch. So,
but aren't marks the ones that make wrestling go? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. So
without them, there is no industry. So it doesn't make a lick of sense to sit there and dog it out.
Same with rats. There wouldn't be a pro wrestling industry without rats either. But that's neither here nor there. So pardon me for throwing the word around, but when all these guys come to Waterloo for the Hall of Fame inductions, like Jim Ross, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Terry Funk, even Colt Cabana, who we've talked to before, I'm going to be the biggest fucking mark, and I'm probably going to make it rain for those guys. If Terry Funk wants some Jack and Coke, I'm going to buy his ass a Jack and Coke. I have no idea what did we say that made me think of that?
Oh, about having a beer with JBL.
Having a beer with JBL, exactly. Trust me, if I get the opportunity to, I'm going to have a beer with one of these guys. Because fuck it. I mean, they're just dudes like we are.
Yeah.
But they're fucking awesome.
At least you hope.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. That's the thing. Like, I actually heard somewhere, and I'll be damned if I remember where I heard it or read it and if I'll ever be able to find it again. But I actually knew what Jim Ross's favorite mixed drink was for a while. And I said, I'm going to remember that for when he comes to the Hall of Fame. Oops. And then eight months later, I've completely forgotten what it was. I was going to get that man loaded and just be like,
Wikipedia.
Dude, you're the best, man. You're my hero. Remember when you got fired in February?
You know how fucking funny that'd be? Yeah. You just get lit up. You're sharing all the stuff. Like that Chris Farley thing on Saturday Night Live.
Remember when you were on Monday Night Raw? That was awesome.
He'd be like, yeah, I do. I'm not on there anymore. I'm bitter about it.
That's awesome. Stupid.
I mean, Cole be fine. Already met him. He was fun.
Yeah.
Terry Funk to me would be the guy of that crew, though, that just to sit down and listen to him to tell stories.
I got very lucky one year when the Hall of Fame was still in Newton, Iowa. Terry Funk and Harley Race were both there. And I got to sit about halfway across the room from those two telling stories back and forth. And to this day, I can't remember what the stories were, but I just remember I was like a little kid listening to Grandpa tell stories about the war. I was like, I could have been sitting Indian style with my chin on my hands, just like in awe of listening to these two talk. It was so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not afforded that opportunity. I mean,
yeah.
As much as I like to, like, you've... Whenever I say do something stupid, you're like, remember, we have to be, you know, professional, wouldn't do that or something. And to me, it's just like, no matter how professional you get, there's still that, not item, but there's still that intangible that brought you to it.
Yeah.
So when you get around to meeting these guys that brought you there in the first place, it's very hard to keep your composure.
Oh, God, I don't care. I don't care how much creative control we had over Chick Fight. It was still impossible to talk to cheerleader Melissa.
I like how you prefaced it like we had control. That was pretty funny. I mean, we had a shitload of input, but...
Yeah. Sorry, Jason Black Pants or whatever your crew was.
Dedrick. Yeah, Dedrick. It was Black Pants. Man. I don't really know what happened. That kind of petered out for us.
I know.
Kind of in general.
Yeah, that stinks. I would have loved to have been a part of that.
Yeah, that is...
More so than we were, which was basically having access to a collective website that only Dr. Mike Lano ever posted in.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously, these are decisions made by somebody else.
Yeah, it's just funny that, I don't know, we never, we probably still don't, but we never got the respect for, like, actually how involved we got in certain things. But we could never say anything while we were involved with it.
I know.
Like, these guys are idiots. Well, yeah, but we're doing a shitload more than you ever have. So,
all I'll really say about that, I can't say anything negative because I didn't see a lot of it. I wish it could have gone on longer, and I wish that we could have been a little more involved just because it would have been fun. Nothing whatsoever with all the brilliant ideas we would have brought to the table, but that's just fun. How fun would that have been? To keep up, you know, to have been any sort of influence on a semi-successful women's wrestling company.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and they had some that's for another audio.
Then Jim Ross would have a drink with me.
Yeah. You're the one that produces all that girly wrestling.
Yep.
You got that right.
Oh, Christ. Well, God, have we gone an hour almost?
Oh, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, we aimed for 40 minutes, so I'm sure we went an hour.
Probably. I mean, there are a million other little topics. I'll run them past you rapid fire. Coco Beware got a mainstream interview.
What?
Yeah, it's on .net. You can look at it. He revealed whose idea it was to have a bird on his shoulder. It was his now late wife who came up with the idea. So they already called him the Birdman, and then she went to a pet shop and found a bird for him. yep.
Okay.
Randy Orton's promo or interview. I don't remember what the radio station was, but it's online. The interview's online, and there's a link at prowrestling.net. What a great interview that was.
He sounded like he was drunk or something, yeah. Man. He seemed way too happy. I mean, maybe we're so used to his persona on TV.
Yeah.
He just seemed way too happy.
Something. And he was doing a lot of that. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. Oh, that was funny when that happened.
Yes. Where you're used to the, yeah.
Right. But you know what? Hell, get him drunk more often because he was funny. He was really funny to listen to. Like him and the two interviewers were... They had some good chemistry, and they were going all back and forth. And
yeah, well, I don't think we're going to see too many more of those interviews.
I would think not.
After some of the shit he was talking about. So
Chris Shore, I think it was Chris Shore who said it on .net. He said it best. Go to listen to that interview because there are a lot of, whoa, did he just say that type of moments. So
yeah, basically saying Kelly was a dartboard.
Yep. Yep.
And then he didn't actually come out and say who tagged her, or no, had, I can't remember what the actual term was. But,
yeah
that to me, I was like, oh my god, that's fucking horrible. That poor chick.
I know. Well, she is.
I mean, she just likes having sex, and, you know, who cares?
Good for her. Hey, she got a belt out of the deal.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm getting at is, so she fucked a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
Right, who cares? So?
Yeah.
And they're no big, if you want to put it this way, they're no bigger whores than, she's no bigger whore than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, chicks like getting off too. Fucking deal
yeah,
with it.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't look down on her for that. Exactly. For the reason you just said.
Good for her.
You know, we've been saying good for Batista and good for CM Punk for the last 10 years. Good for her.
Yeah. You know what? Especially Batista. If Melina wants to fuck you, go and fuck her. That's John Morrison's problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Never mind. Just because she is a jizz jar and acts about as well as a jar. Doesn't make her any less of an orifice.
Now, that whole thing with sexuality like that just it confuses the fuck out of me.
The double standard, yeah. It's,
oh, yeah.
Cheer everybody on. Fuck, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have said the whole thing with Batista and Melina because that was, you know, that's kind of shitty to do to someone. But if you're single, so what?
Right.
Who fucking cares?
Exactly.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Linda McMahon goes on not Linda McMahon. What the fuck's her
Linda? Wow. No, it wasn't.
No. Linda Bollea. Sorry. Hulk Hogan's ex-wife goes on the Today Show and she's got a book coming out. So of course it's going to be sensational. And she's a fucking insane basket case mess.
She's a cunt.
She's a cunt is what she is.
That's all she is. Dude, she actually said worse stuff on the Opie and Anthony show.
Well,
she said they called Hogan Peanut because he had a small dick. She said that her new boyfriend's dick is much bigger than hers.
Hers?
She said Hulk Hogan, I'm sorry, his.
Okay.
Whatever. she was. What was she talking about? But that hers thing kind of blew me.
Yeah, sorry. Well, on the Today Show, she said Hogan was always in a violent rage on all sorts of pills and throwing chairs and choking her. And the sad thing is, Linda Hogan was on TV for years on Hogan's Knows Best and Hogan Does This and Hogan Does That. For some reason, I cannot get the image out of my head of Deborah McMichael talking about, you don't know how road rage works until you've got a 500-pound gorilla beating down on top of you. I can't not think of Deborah McMichael when I think of Linda Hogan.
God damn, I actually totally forgot
about
her.
How road rage, and you just don't know what it's like to have a 500-pound gorilla on top of you.
See, all right, here's the problem. I'm not saying that this didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'm just saying it didn't happen enough. No, sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's that, but the bitch is still talking about it. No, I'm
apparently
tired of
Hogan
these rancid cunts just doing this shit.
Yep.
It's annoying already. What? All right. Name one thing Linda Hogan's done. There you go. Not a fucking thing.
You can't, you don't even need to qualify it. Not even like what Linda Hogan has done for society or what she has done for Hulk Hogan's career. No, name one thing Linda Hogan has done. Nothing.
Yeah. Not a fucking thing. She's made her entire career in life taking loads from Hulk Hogan. And two of those loads, she wasn't stupid enough to wash out. And she had two kids. Well, big fucking deal.
Yep.
So you sit at home in your mansions, whatever else, clearly being faithful. Bullshit. Yeah. No, it's infuriating. These bitches do this stuff all the time now. And yes, I'm talking about all women. I've had it. I was listening to this. We were listening to the Opie and Anthony one. And I just told Kevin, I was like, this chick is pissing me off.
Yep.
So, of course, and she can write a tell-all book and this. All right. I don't get it. Of course, a publisher, because they want to make money. They don't care who they exploit. That just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll be like, well, we've done our fact-checking, and it's factually accurate, and blah, blah, just to avoid the lawsuits.
Right. Fuck that. What fucking facts? What facts would they even have?
Yeah. Well, he was, and she said on Opie and Anthony, I know where you're talking today, I'm talking to Opie and Anthony, because she was saying that he ripped clumps of her hair out.
Uh-huh.
And she would always worry, like, if she didn't know what
he
was
ripped,
for.
He ripped her hair out to sew into the back of his bandana. Because according to the Ultimate Warrior, you're bald, Jerry. You're bald.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she did address Ultimate Warrior on that, or Warrior, excuse me, and she said, I don't know what his deal is. Hogan and I didn't have an open relationship. At least I didn't. I was, oh, fuck you. Uh-huh. It's like, why couldn't she have been in the passenger seat with her son? And you know what? If she's being abused, that's awful, okay? And it's not a good situation. We all understand that. But you have no business comparing yourself to Nicole Brown Simpson and going, I didn't want to end up like Nicole Brown. Shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't going to happen. If it did, guess what? You'd be like Nicole Brown Simpson.
You'd be fucking dead and headless.
Yes, exactly.
Right where you belong.
And your goofy 18-year-old boyfriend would be the same. It's just it's just shit.
Yeah.
And then you hear Hogan go on Bubba the Love Sponge show just deflated, like, I don't know what's going on. I just, you know, just wants to move on.
Yeah.
Doesn't, I mean, they're divorced. She got half his money because that makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh, right.
And this bitch is still going to put a book out just trashing him.
Oh my God. There needs to be like a wrestler's wives club with Linda and Julie Hart. And who are some of these other dumb bitches? Like Deborah McMichael or something.
Well, but you know what, Deborah, I mean, I hate to say it, and I know it's funny the way she said it, but there was proof he did get arrested that Austin, I mean, did, you know, physically assault her.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true.
Yeah,
so,
you're right. I can't defend that.
Yeah, but also in her defense, she's not going out writing a tell-all book.
Nope, but Julie Hart did.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about Deborah McMichael. Okay.
I'm just saying, there are women out there who are. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to pick on women, but they're capitalizing on their husband's fame.
Yeah. They have nothing going for themselves because they're not smart enough. They're not ambitious enough. They don't know what to do, period. So all they do is just leech off of whoever they've attached themselves to.
Yep.
Whether it be Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, I'm trying to think of some other wrestling one.
Well,
just drunk.
Hey, they've learned from the best. They're con men just like their husbands were.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Good point. Good point. Yeah. No, it's.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's frustrating to even talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, what was it? Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen? The way those idiots were going at each other in the press?
Yeah.
When that was going on? All of these dumb fucking people. Oh, man.
That's really what it comes down to, is just a whole fucking collection of dumb people.
Right. And I can't – and it goes back to a cultural standpoint where people will go buy her book or will watch her on the Today Show. I mean, Opie and Anthony was on. I listened only because of wrestling. But when she started talking about all this other shit, I just turned it off. You know, I was like, I can't take it.
I don't know. I don't know if people will buy her book. Hulk Hogan is such a C-level celebrity right now. What does that make her? Fucking XYZ?
Yeah.
No one's going to buy her book, dude. Yeah. It's going to be the biggest waste of time. Biggest flop.
Oh, I got to figure that's really big print.
It's like old people's Reader's Digest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. One of the chapters is actually life in these United States.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess I should clarify something. Hulk Hogan wrote a book, too.
Yeah.
Or also. And, you know, factually, he probably overindulged, you know? But he didn't go on a press tour bad-mouthing his ex-wife.
Right.
Calling her vagina a canyon. Or saying it smelled like the inside of a fake limb.
Right.
Or, you know, just her clit looks like an arm. Or just something awful. He didn't do this awful shit.
Yeah, you're right.
And does with glee, mind you.
Uh-huh.
She had no problem saying, oh, it's peanut because, you know, the steroid shrunk his dick and all that. Uh-huh. It's like, okay. No, I hate women like that. And that's the reason – she is the reason women have bad names. People like her, Paris Hilton, Jesus.
You know what? It's not just limited to her, though, crazy. And it's not just limited to women. Ultimate Warrior, perfect example. 2-3 weeks ago, he was saying the exact same thing. Terry, I know you did slutty things. Yeah. You're getting your jollies with other people.
But see, but Warrior's not pimping. He pimped a video that he put on YouTube for free. He's not trying to make money off of this.
You know, he probably thinks, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, maybe he thinks there is gold at the end of this rainbow.
True. Nah,
These people all deserve each other. Yeah, you know what? I'll go move into a fucking compound and just fucking hope that somebody David Koresh is the fucking place. Fuck.
Well, no, David Koresh was the leader of the cult.
Yeah, the FBI. Let him. Okay. Well, yeah. It's not as effective to say let him FBI the place.
If it was a June Jones sort of situation,
yeah,
that'd be even better.
Yeah.
Or Jim Jones.
Jim Jones. Me. Yeah.
June Jones is the head coach of the SMU football.
Oh,
oops. Oops. My bad. No, I'm just – it's getting to a point of aggravation where – because I'm at the gym in the morning now and I see these dolts just like, well, who's the – what's Palin's daughter's name?
Bristol.
A Bristol Palin's on.
Yep.
And she's trashing her baby's daddy.
Which
– it's like, shut up.
Yeah, first of all, who the fuck cares anymore?
Exactly.
She isn't hot anymore. And
now she's got better looking, actually. That's kind of weird.
After that
she was
surgery.
Chubby for Dancing with Stars, and now she lost
yeah,
weight.
Yeah, I don't know. So. But, I mean, she's fucking old news, dude. So it's right. The producer's fault that she's on there. And then – so really, I mean, you can blame her for being a dumb whore, too, and with nothing important to say. But blame the producers, too, for putting her on. It's like, hey, Bristol, you want to do this show? I don't really have anything to talk about, but are you going to pay me scale? Yes. Oh.
Well, no, she's – no. She's got a book out.
Oh, fuck her.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I'm getting at.
Fucking Kate Gosselin was on the Today Show the other day.
Another chick that does nothing.
She's the epitome. Kate Gosselin is the epitome of Doug Stanhope's joke about, just, what do you, look what you're doing to your body. What I'm doing, don't you have 4 kids? I could stick my hand up your cunt and flip a coin. And because Kate Plus 8 is starting a new season on TLC, that fucking ranted whore is on the Today Show. You know, you can blame them too for having nothing whatsoever to say, but it's not just their fault. It's a whole, like you said, a whole fucking culture of stupid people.
Yeah, but people are watching this shit though. I mean,
they're part of the culture.
Yeah. No. I just meant with like Bristol Palin, people do want to hear what that idiotic thing has to say.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe her boyfriend, that Levi, is it Levi?
Levi Johnson.
Levy?
Yep.
Oh, Levi Johnson. He is a douchebag. Fucking look at him.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at the guy, and you understand. Oh, he just wanted to fuck you.
Yeah.
Are you that dumb?
Right. The fucking Canadian hockey player that looks like Cody Rhodes. Duh.
Yeah. It's just rewarding stupidity.
Yep.
And so yeah. So Linda McMahon,
yeah,
she may be
too.
But Linda Hogan's a fucking cunt.
They should have made Linda change her name, like old Steven Regal or Shane Helms.
Yeah,
should have made Linda Hogan change her name.
Anyway.
All right. Let's get the fuck out.
Yeah, we're off on too many tangents. All right.
Could go on forever. So, all right. Well, I'm going to sign off. So thank you for listening. Next edition is 150, wow, which is kind of weird. So we got to plan something for that.
There you go.
So I'll check out. We'll see you guys later.
Cool. All right, everybody. Hey, for Jeremy and for Kevin and Dusty, for fucking Mickey's Pawn Shop that I passed out by earlier and picked my co-host up today, and for Twitter, follow us at Stunt Granny. This is Eric Nelson. This has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We will try to do better next time.